Have you ever been tasked with making a difficult decision for your family? What is the biblical way of making decisions as a Christian? How does God want us as Christian men to make important decisions as the heads of our families and for ourselves? I was recently asked this by someone who listens to the podcast. We will be tasked with, where will our kids go to school? Should our kids play travel sports? What if our kids' friends are a bad influence? Should we change jobs? Should we move? Should we leave our church, etc.? What is the correct way to go about following God in making a decision like that? How does prayer, Bible reading, and seeking godly counsel play into big decisions? How do we go about each of those practically in the midst of making a very important decision? Is it possible to over-spiritualize decisions and get paralysis analysis or analysis paralysis? Okay, so how do we make big decisions as a Christian? What does the Bible say? I've wrestled with this too, and I'm sure that you can relate as well. I want to look today at the 9 stages of biblical decision-making that I believe that the Bible lays out. This is Worldview Legacy, the podcast from the Think Institute that helps Christian men become the worldview leaders their families and churches need. My name is Joel Sedekase. I am a former pastor, and now I serve as the executive director of the Think Institute. We equip regular believers to become worldview leaders, and I'm here to help you, a Christian man, lead your family in the Christian worldview. Now, if you enjoy this topic and you want to know more about how to answer all of life's most pressing questions from the Bible, you need to know about an upcoming course that I'll be teaching in the Hammer and Anvil Society. It's going to help you answer every objection to the Christian faith, and it's called Apologetics Foundations. I will tell you all about it at the end of this episode. All right, now let's talk about the 9 stages of biblical decision-making. You ready for this? Here we go. Stage number 1, priorities. You need to have a clear sense of purpose and what your priorities, your most important things in your life are to you, and you need to be committed to that before you can make decisions to determine whether or not those decisions are going to serve your purpose and those priorities that you have, that you've laid out for yourself or that have been laid out for you. So let me give you some scriptures that speak to this. In Proverbs 6:4, we see that everything has a purpose from God. As a matter of fact, in that verse, it says that the Lord has a purpose for everything, even the evil for the day of trouble, even the wicked for the day of trouble. Now, Jesus knew his purpose, and knowing his purpose guided his decisions. And Jesus, of course, is the ultimate example for us to follow. Well, in Mark 1:38, we see this play out, how Jesus' purpose and his priorities shaped a decision that he made. It's a small example, but it's a really important one. Jesus said to them, this is Mark 1:38, he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." So Jesus knows why he is there. He's there to preach. He's there to preach the gospel and ultimately to die for the sins of his people. And because he knows what his purpose is, that determines what he does next. He goes, he's not going to stay in this one town where they want him to stay. He's going to move on, and he's going to go preach in those other towns. He knew what God had sent them there to do, and he chose to do it. So you have to ask yourself, what are your priorities? And Scripture actually gives us several priorities that we ought to be pursuing. We ought to prioritize our ongoing walk with the Lord. Let me read Romans 12:1-2 for you. Here's what it says. "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." We're supposed to be pursuing the Lord with all that we are. Our whole bodies, everything that we do in our bodies is supposed to be as a living sacrifice offered to God. And we're to prioritize the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So Jesus is promising that your needs will be met as you are pursuing God's kingdom. And we see something similar in 1 Corinthians 10:31, where we learn to prioritize the glory of God. It says, "For whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." And then in Psalm 37:3, we see that we are to prioritize the Lord himself. It says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart," which makes sense. If you're prioritizing God himself, his person, who he is, then you really have all that you need because he will give himself to you. So that's pretty cool. So stage number one is priorities. Now let's talk about stage two of biblical disciple making, prayer. In James 1:5, we have this amazing promise from the Lord. It says that if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. So we can just ask God for wisdom with our decision, and he will help us. He will give us wisdom. As long as we're asking, that passage continues, we need to ask without being double-minded, without doubting. Philippians 4:6-7 says this: "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So pray to the Lord. Prayer is an amazing resource that we have. My friend Larry Dolendi, when I was a youth pastor and he was serving with the youth group, he used to ask the students, he said, "If you could have God's personal phone number right now and call him up and ask him anything, what would you say to him?" And then he would use that to explain, that is exactly what we have in prayer. We can call God at any time. We can reach out to him in faith, in prayer, and we can speak to him, and we can ask him for wisdom with our decision-making. So the next time you have a major decision, bring it to the Lord in prayer. So stage one was priorities. Stage two is prayer. What about stage three? Stage three is purge. It's purge. Here's what we mean by purge. We mean check yourself for sin. See if there is anything in you. Ask the Lord to see if there is anything in you that you need to confess and repent. You know, you're going to be praying for wisdom. And scripture tells us that as men, if we are not living with our wives in an understanding way, that will actually inhibit or hinder our prayers. In Psalm 119, verse 133, David writes, "Keep steady my steps according to your promise, and let no iniquity get dominion over me." We think also of what the Lord said to Cain. Cain was feeling jealous of his brother, and the Lord told him, "Sin is crouching at your door, but you must rule over it," or "you must master it." If we have sin in our lives, in our hearts, and we are harboring sin, the Lord will not hear our prayers in the same way. And if we're praying for wisdom, but we're harboring sin, that's going to cloud our vision and it's going to harm our decision-making. So purging ourselves of sin, confessing and repenting, asking the Lord to bring to light those things where we need to recommit ourselves, those areas and arenas of life where we need to recommit ourselves to the Lord, very important. Okay, so stage one was, do you remember? Priorities. Stage two, prayer. Stage three, purge. Stage four is going to be peruse. And a lot of people think that the word peruse means to skim a book or an article. It actually doesn't. To peruse actually means to read something in its entirety or to study every part of it. So when we're perusing scripture. That's what stage four is about. Scripture is profitable for every good work, including godly decision-making. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. God has given you scripture to study, to make decisions. Study the word. See what the Bible says about your situation. Psalm 119:105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." I love that imagery of using God's word to guide you and to illuminate one step after the next. It might not show you a mile ahead, but it'll show you the next step that you need to take. Hugely important. And then Proverbs 3:5-6 say to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Are you doing that with your decision-making? Are you perusing scripture? Are you trusting in God's word, even above your own God-given wisdom? So that's stage four. So now we've got priorities, prayer, purge, peruse, and stage five, ponder. To ponder means to think about, and here we're going to be thinking about the cost. You're going to count the cost, evaluate your resources, evaluate your availability, evaluate your ability. Can you actually take on this new commitment? Can you handle, with God's help, but realistically speaking, can you handle the change that making this decision would bring into your life? Evaluate your availability and ability. Luke 14:28 says, "For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock it, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace." So here Jesus is talking in context. He's speaking about counting the cost of being a disciple of Jesus. But we can apply this to any of our decisions that we have to make. Jesus wants us to count the cost, to ponder about whether or not we have the resources and the wherewithal to follow through on what we are committing to do. You know, if you're going to be committing to joining a church committee or becoming a deacon at your church, but you know you're going to be gone for 3 months this summer, well, maybe you don't want to do that right now. Maybe you want to wait until the fall, or maybe you want to wait until your life gets a little bit less hectic. Count the cost. So that's stage number five. Stage number six is another P word. It is panel. You need to get some panelists. You need to get a counsel who can give you counsel. You need to get wise counsel. Get many advisors. Proverbs is absolutely rife with injunctions to get godly wisdom and counsel. Proverbs 15:22 says, "Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed." So ask wise, godly brothers and sisters, godly believers. Proverbs 13:20 says, "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." Proverbs 12:15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice." Don't be a fool. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Talk to somebody else who's wise, who has experience. Proverbs 24:6 says, "By wise guidance, you can wage your war, and in abundance of counselors, there is victory." Think about how many decisions go into warfare. Well, warfare in the arena of life every single day is no different. There are a lot of decisions that you need, and you need to surround yourself with godly people. And then if God's given you a wife, ask your wife. You know, Genesis 2:18 says it's not good for the man to be alone. God created a helper meet or appropriate or corresponding to Adam. That's what the word meet means, corresponding to, appropriate. And God made a helper for Adam because it's not good for a man to go through life by himself without that help. And so that's why God has given you a wife. If God has has given you a wife. So don't neglect that resource that the Lord has given you. Okay, now, stage 7 is peace. Do not let yourself be governed by fear, but rather claim the peace that is yours in Christ. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." God gives you peace that surpasses all understanding when you walk with Christ, when you follow Christ. And as a Christian, that is your birthright. You do not need to fear anything man can do to you. You don't need to fear any situation because no one can pluck you out of God's mighty hand. 2 Timothy 1:7 says that God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. So claim that peace that you have in Christ and do not let yourself be governed by fear. Let's do a quick recap now. Stage 1 of our biblical decision-making process was priorities. Stage 2 is prayer. Stage 3, purge the sin from your life. Stage 4, peruse God's word. Stage 5, ponder, meaning count the cost. Stage 6 was panel, get wise counsel. And stage 7 was peace, do not be governed by fear. Let's now talk about stage 8. We just have 2 more to go. Stage 8 of biblical disciple making is plan. Figure out a course of action, commit your intentions to the Lord, and determine your next steps. You know, when you're making a decision and you're starting to realize now, this is the right decision for me to make. And this goes either way. If I'm going to do this thing, if I'm not going to do this thing, everything in life is a trade-off. So if you decide you're not going to take this option, you're not going to take this position, you're not going to get your child involved at this activity or enroll him or her in this particular school, well, then what are you going to take on instead? What are you going to keep doing instead? What are you going to give up instead? You need to commit those intentions to the Lord. Proverbs 16:9 says that the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Psalm 37:23, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, says, "The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way." And Jeremiah 10:23 says, "I know, O Lord, that the way of man is not in himself, that it is not in man who walks to direct his steps." See, we walk, but we recognize that it is God who ultimately gives the answer, God who ultimately makes things happen. And so we keep that in mind, but these verses presuppose that we are going to be acting. We are going to be planning. We are going to actually be taking steps. How can God direct your steps if you're not taking any steps? How can God show you the way you should go if you're not going anywhere? I guess God could tell you, go this way. He did that with Abram. He said, go to Canaan, go to the land that I will show you. But more often than not, what God does is he guides you as you are taking steps, as you are walking. So you don't necessarily need a divine voice from the heavens before you start to move. If you've gone through these steps and you've cleansed sin out of your life, you've purged, you've perused scripture, you've been in prayer, then plan your steps. And that leads us right on to stage number 9, which is proceed. Trust the Lord to guide you and then act. Take action. One of the key verses for me in my life over the last year has been Psalm 32, verse 8. Actually, as a matter of fact, before I go to bed, most nights, I open up my grandfather's old Bible, my grandpa's old Bible, and it's an NRSV, or no, it might be an RSV. And I open it up to Psalm 32, 8. And what that verse says in the ESV is this: "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you." I love that verse. When I first read that verse, it was at a point in my life where I was making some very big, dramatic decisions. And as I read that verse, it was as if the Lord was putting his hand on my shoulder and telling me, Joel, I got you. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to direct you. It was so reassuring for me. And I hope that this verse is reassuring for you as well. But God wants us to take action. He will guide us. He will show us the right way to go. Romans 12:6 says this. It says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy, in proportion to our faith. Then Paul goes on to list a bunch of the different spiritual gifts. But the idea is, if God's given you gifts, use those gifts. Don't let what God has given you go to waste. We see the same thing in the parable of the talents in Matthew 25. Don't waste what's been entrusted to you. Better to take your talent and put it in the bank to just earn some interest than it would be to sit on it or bury it. Don't waste what God has given you. And that goes for your time as well. Ephesians 5:16 says we are to make the best use of the time because the days are evil. In other words, time is ticking. You'll never get these days back. And not only that, but the whole world is working against your biblical godly productivity. So you got to make the most of the time, redeem the time. You only have so much of it. So use it for God's glory and use it wisely. All right. Now, if you want to go deeper, you want to learn more about how to lead your family in the Lord, you need to know about the Hammer and Anvil Society. The Hammer and Anvil Society is the learning community where Christian men get equipped to lead consistent family worship, to raise their children in the faith, and to provide their wives with godly leadership and spiritual direction. This is the community where you will learn how to defend your faith and answer every objection to the Christian worldview with sound, solid, biblical guidance and answers. We are committed to building a legacy in the Christian worldview and living out God's calling on our lives. The Hammer and Anvil Society consists of two main elements, not elephants, elements. One, powerful courses and a complete library of resources and videos to help you grow in boldness and biblical soundness. Two, regular cohort calls to provide you with brotherhood and connect you to the wisdom of other men on this journey. You will also receive full access to our online community where you can ask questions, share insights, and connect in community. Here's what one of our members, AJ, said about his experience. Today, I stand stronger, more rooted in my faith. I am forever grateful for the H&A Society, Hammer and Anvil Society, which has been instrumental in transforming me into the man of God I am striving to be. To learn more about the Hammer and Anvil Society, especially our upcoming class called Apologetics Foundations, go now to thethink.institute/society. That's thethink.institute/society. One more time, thethink.institute/society. Okay, one more time. Our 9 stages of biblical decision-making are stage 1, priorities. Stage 2, prayer. Stage 3, purge. Stage 4, peruse God's word. Stage 5, ponder. Stage 6, panel. Get advice, get counsel. Stage 7, peace. Stage 8, plan. And stage 9, proceed. Okay. Well, I hope that this has been helpful. This episode was produced by yours truly, Joel Sedekase, and is a production of the Think Institute. The Think Institute is a Christian nonprofit that equips regular believers to become worldview leaders. You can learn more and help support this work by going to thethink.institute right now. And until next time, stay based by God's grace.